live, local, FM talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm John Potter. I am not really a glass half full kind of person. I'm more of a where did I put that glass type of person. I want to thank Steve for coming by. Everybody is calling, I guess, Bug and Phil there in Carson City for Steve's phone number. These plumbers are in huge demand. Steve's water heater installation and plumbing. Here's the number, folks. This guy's more popular than me already. 775-351-6047. And there you go. We're going to keep Steve busy like all the other plumbers here in town. I got an email over the week on that call-in topic I brought up last Saturday. Where in Reno is your favorite offbeat food? What is Reno missing in the restaurant scene here, especially the regional food from other parts of the country and ethnic food from other countries that newcomers are used to having in, say, California? Who is cooking those items here in our area? Reno, Carson City, Arrington, Tahoe. I got an email from Maggie, who says there are three places in Reno that have fried pickles, which I never knew this. Three places you can get fried pickles in Reno: Bully's, Cracker Barrel, and Sonic.
Sonic has fried pickles?
Yes, that's what they say. I guess we brought up fried pickles. I don't remember.
I just gained 6 ounces thinking about it.
Do you like them?
Oh, fried I haven't had them since I was, oh, good grief, 13 years old living in Ukiah, back at the old Snoopy's.
It's one of those things that I don't want to try it, but go for it.
Oh, they're good. They're good.
Really? Okay.
Well, you don't use the sweet pickles.
Oh.
You use dill pickles.
Now it's getting better.
Yeah.
Okay. And somebody this week, speaking of call-in topics, they said, hey, you know, John, you should ask people, what is number one on your Christmas wish this year, material or otherwise? Now, personally, a new watch, you know, that's my collection fetish. I love watches. And I have another wish thing. That is an appointment that lasts, that's less than 3 months away at the Reno DMV. But actually, last Christmas, my smart wife got me my last watch. And it is Bill Gates' watch. Bill Gates, thrifty man that he is. I mean, look at his haircut and clothes. Bill Gates, the second richest man in the world after Elon Musk, wears a Casio Marlin skin diver watch, $49 at Amazon, and I'm wearing it right now. So that's kind of a cool thing for me.
Doesn't have to be expensive to be good.
No, well, that's Bill Gates right there. He's a cheapskate, I guess, like me. Of course, he can afford it more than me, but I think it's a great value. Amazon, $49 right there. My shopping tip for today, though, do not buy tires at Costco.
Dum, 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 dum.
Ever. My 75-minute wait cost me an extra $415. Would not cost me a penny more at any other tire installer. Folks, how much wait time did your Costco tires cost? And prescriptions there. Waiting for my last prescription at Costco cost me an extra $210 in wait time. You see where I'm going with this, right?
Well, it's not exactly their fault, you know.
No, it's the shopping I'm talking about. That's why it costs so much. And actually, I was told their tire center... now they're going to no walk-ins. You know, first the DMV cut it down to 1 day a week. Well, at Costco, the tire center no longer takes walk-ins. It's only by appointment. And I hear from somebody who works at Costco told me, you know, they overbook them on purpose. Now, this is what they say. I'm not sure if it's true. And because they overbook the appointments with a Costco tire store, the employees are not happy about that. I'll tell you what I am happy with is that free tire inflator pump at the Costco, at least the one in Reno. And it has nitrogen in it and everything. And they set aside like four parking places to where, why am I telling people this? It's just going to make it more crowded so I can't go back there all the time. But it's a great thing right there. It doesn't cost you a dime.
Do you have to insert your Costco card?
No, not at all. And it's simple to understand and everything. Here we got all these gas stations where you have to put in, what, five quarters to inflate your tires? And those pumps are not that strong either. They're not that good.
This is assuming the pumps work.
Well, they're slow, too, because they're not powerful.
Nope.
So this is a great thing that Costco is doing. You don't have to be a member. Just as you don't have to be a member to go to their prescription counter or, I think, to buy liquor, because that's against state law. I mean, you can't they can't make you become a member just for those two things. So you can tell them when you walk into Costco, I'm not a member. I'm just going to get my prescription. And they'll either have somebody escort you to the prescription counter, or they'll just let you go if you're too busy.
Why do you need an escort? They won't check you out without a card anyway.
Well, you have to show your card. Don't you do that when you walk into Costco?
Yeah, you do. But why would they need to escort a person who's not a member to the pharmacy?
You know, that is weird because, okay, so if you're not a member and you say, well, I'm just going to buy stuff anyway, tell the guy I'm getting a prescription, but I'm not really, I'm going to shop. Well, you still need the Costco card at the cash register, right?
Yeah.
And the self-checkout. So, yeah, you're right. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think what Costco does with the checking of the receipts and all, that's the future right there. Because of the shoplifting incidences, they would stop if stores did what Costco did. And Sam's Club has gone a step further by having your purchase authenticated. I don't know how this works, but I hear it's done with a scanning system. Anyway, somebody said to me, you should go to Sam's Club and get a membership there. I don't shop that much. I already have a Costco membership, but I am told that they did a survey and most of the items, they compared like 100 items at Sam's Club and 100 items at Costco. Guess who came out ahead price-wise? It was Sam's Club. Yeah.
By a significant margin?
Us cheap folks don't care. it's just a minor margin probably, but that's what I read. Okay, good football tomorrow. The 49ers take on Seattle. Las Vegas Raiders already out of contention, I believe, for the playoffs. They play the Vikings. The Raiders are like my lifelong team, the Buffalo Bills. I am a long-suffering fan of the Buffalo Bills. I was born in the area. And I tell you, it was such a nice, stress-free time last weekend because that was a bye week for the Bills. But wouldn't you know it, they got 12 penalties last Sunday anyway. That's my Bills.
I have
not
often
true,
wondered.
It wouldn't surprise me.
During the course of a football season, if you were to take the amount of yards given out in total penalties for all the teams, how far would it stretch? Would it go to the moon?
Well, I brought this up last Saturday. I was shocked. I went to my first NFL game since the Bills in 1982. I saw the Bills game in Buffalo. I haven't been to a live NFL game since, but I went to the Raiders game a couple of weeks ago when they played the Chiefs. I was amazed how small that field really is.
Really?
Yeah, TV with their fisheye lens, it makes it look like it's an eternity. And how can they possibly do that field goal? It's not that big.
I have never been to an NFL or NBA game.
It would shock never. You. Yeah. Football, but I'll tell you what, football, especially the NFL, are the only programs on TV that are actually rising in viewership on television. Every other form of programming is dropping in the ratings. It's been that way for years now. Well, look at the cable channels. How many times can a person watch the movies Elf, Mission Impossible, Top Gun, Hunger Games, and Titanic? They've run out of movies. I even saw the Sci-Fi Channel was running The Godfather. Since when was The Godfather right for the Sci-Fi Channel? And The Godfather's run on every other channel.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I'm just getting into streaming. I
have started watching a lot of YouTube through my Roku on my TV.
Ah, do you need the YouTube subscription, or are you just watching the little videos people make on your TV instead of on your tablet?
I like to watch them on the TV because it's easier to see if the smaller details of what they're doing. Sometimes I'll watch how-to videos. I'm getting into my PlayStation 2, my big fat PlayStation 2. And I've been looking at videos on how to improve it, clean it up, restore it. And on my 47-inch TV, it's so much easier to see than on my 6-inch screen.
Well, I avoid YouTube because, boy, you get caught in that YouTube rabbit hole. And you never stop searching for this and that because YouTube has everything now. I had some favorite old TV shows when I was a kid that nobody runs anymore. They're all there. Then the YouTube has the suggestions on the right after you look at something. Mm-hmm. My gosh, there's my favorite all-time actor who was on Johnny Carson. Well, I got to see that. And it just goes on and on. It's a bigger time waster than your smartphone. If you get
that's what they used to say about television, but when cable came in,
Oh, I know. I'm going to take a break. Phone lines open, 884-9910. Oh, John, you got to talk politics on this station. Well, I am. Yeah. Did you see Trump with Hannity? Did you see the Republican debate? And what's your opinion of the so-called false electors in Nevada? 884-9910. Oh, we're going to get into it good here. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 11:18.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
I will be very honored to meet you live and in person today. I'll be broadcasting from the grand opening of the Cookie Plug grand opening today from 12:30 to 3:30. It's right next to Raley's on South Meadows Parkway. See you there starting at 12:30 after I'm through the show here. And we'll eat cookies together. 884-9910, open topics here. Let's go to Dave in Spanish Springs. Dave, I'm glad you called. Welcome.
John, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I think you're doing a great job on the radio, and I really enjoy your show. I have lived here since 74, and, my wife and I, we live in Spanish Springs. We moved out there in 91 on Pyramid Highway. And I have never seen so many people go through red lights in my life.
Ah, yeah. So I bring this up every Saturday. It's unbelievable. Now you do have to look both ways before, even when the light turns green. You have to do it now. I've never seen so many red light runners. Tell me your story.
Exactly. Well, my daughter lived in Seattle for many years, and they had traffic cameras on each light. Wouldn't it be convenient for Nevada to do that here, too?
You would have some people opposed to that. I remember couple of years ago. Well, invasion of privacy, and, government cameras watching you, and... Which is kind of a legitimate response in a way. Now, there are other states who do what you say, right? Doesn't California do this?
I don't know.
Some communities in California do this. Sacramento specifically is one of them. And I can tell you that red light ticket cameras are specifically illegal in Nevada.
Well, there you go, Dave.
Well, we had to reverse that, don't we?
Well, it's not
Come
as
on,
cut
John,
and dry.
Get on there.
It's not as cut and dry as all that. A person can be pulling into an intersection to make a legal right turn. The camera will go off, and it looks like you're running a red light. Same thing with making a left on a flashing yellow. It's not cut and dry. And when you have a camera doing law enforcement, not judging, just snapping pictures, law is about humans, not automation. That's important.
I agree, Phil. I'm a little bit with Dave here, because how many times have you been on the road and you saw something a nitwit did and you think to yourself, if only there was a trooper there who saw that, or, you know, second to that, if only there was a camera out there that caught that, right, Dave?
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Well, we're getting that now. We're getting that through the private sector, through all these Ring doorbells and what have you.
Yeah, that's true.
And it helps.
All right. Dave wants a little more surveillance. I appreciate the idea, Dave, and thanks for the call. Okay. Yeah. To catch the red light runners, his suggestion, how about cameras to catch people not using blinkers? Now, that, to me, is a bigger issue.
Yes, we do need blinkers, and we need people in crosswalks.
Some people say that, like, BMW drivers are more apt not to use their blinkers. Have you noticed that? There are certain car types and brands.
No, I haven't.
I know if it's a California plate, you will not see a blinker.
Oh, goodness. If it's a California plate, back off. They're dangerous.
Well, as a walker, I'm a big pedestrian, and I don't even see the blinkers when I'm crossing, you know, a driveway on the sidewalk with somebody turning into the driveway. They just point to me and sit there a foot away from me as I'm walking by them. Just can't use the blinker. I don't know. There was a day, folks. There was a day when people used the blinker. Why am I laughing? Sad stuff here. 884-9910. I hope you stop by the cookie plug today just out of now. I would, you know, even though they're having me go out there, I would go out there just out of curiosity. Californians know what the cookie plug is. They're thick, thick, thick cookies that are almost like a cookie cake. And you can have all sorts of different flavors and colors and things like that. So 12:30 again, I'll see you at the cookie plug on South Meadows Parkway. Right next to Rayleigh's. It'd be great to finally meet you all in person. Back to the phone, 884-9910. Mike is calling from Gardnerville on Nevada traffic laws. Mike, I'm glad you called.
Good morning. Hey, in Nevada, if you see a misdemeanor committed by somebody on the road, you can call it in and you just wait. You know, you can follow them or whatever, and the cop will pull them over and you can sign the ticket.
This isn't one of those things where the police say, well, we got bigger things to do, and, you know, if there's even an accident, just contact your insurance company, that they will take this seriously, Mike? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if you call and say you want to sign a ticket, they'll come out, and they'll pull the person over and sign the ticket. You can sign the ticket. So,
all right.
But you have to go to court and everything. So.
Okay. Did you actually do this, Mike?
No, I used to be a law enforcement in Nevada.
Oh, really? Okay, awesome. Awesome. Well, you're not with law enforcement anymore, but at the time you were in law enforcement, yes, the police would come out if you tell them that you will sign something on the violation, right?
Correct.
Wow.
Because it's a misdemeanor that's not witnessed by a police officer, but... Yeah.
What law enforcement agency are you talking about here, Mike? You're calling from Gardnerville.
I'd rather not say.
Okay, well, that's fine. It's worth a try. Hey, this guy didn't use his blinker. I'll sign it.
All right.
All right, take care. Let's go to Bill getting an education this morning on traffic laws here in our fine state. As always, I'll be grateful to take your call. And there he is. Hey, Bill, I'm thankful you called. Good morning.
Hey, John, listen to your show every Saturday while I'm out in the garage working and on my Jeep. So really love your show and keep it up. First of all, I drive a truck here in town, and I'm up and down Pyramid Highway probably, 50, 60 times a week. And about a year or so ago, they were flashing yellow lights approximately a football field or more away from the intersection. And us guys that drive the heavy trucks that can't stop so fast, we used those as a means to get off the throttle so we could make that stop and nobody would get injured. Now, those things, since they took them away, it's like you're paying hell of life in somebody's hands. You know, go through it slowly, get off the throttle, hit the brakes, do whatever. But there's times where those lights change and there you are rolling through them. And they claim they took those lights away to stop side impact collisions because people saw them come on and they would step on the gas of the car, and there were a lot of side impact collisions, supposedly. But let's do the math here. I have 70,000 plus pounds.
Oh, yeah.
If I go through that light because I can't stop, who's going to die?
Did you have a close call yourself, Bill, like this?
Oh, several. And many, many of the guys that I know that are doing the same thing I do say the same thing. The NDOT had these meetings, and I don't know what kind of a pseudo-intellectual jackass with a PhD in underwater basket weaving decided to take those lights out. But I got to tell you something. They need to go back in place. And I don't care about cars hitting side by side. Well, I really do. But who's going to take the chance of getting hit by a truck versus a car? Who's got the last chance of survival?
You know, Bill, I said hours ago that as a kid, I always wanted to be a truck driver. I really did. But now, now you look at these TikTok videos, these Facebook videos that truck drivers upload from their dash cams. And it's horrifying, horrifying. There are people who don't see the truck when they pull out from a side street. They just don't see it. And then I mean, and there's the person, like you just said, who stops on a dime right in front of you.
Yep.
That's terrifying.
You get the red light runner. Let's say that it goes yellow by the time your wheels go in the intersection. You get the red light, green light runner, and a guy blows through. I mean, I got to tell you something. I about ran somebody over in a little Toyota, three days ago, you know, I drive a truck where I cannot make evasive moves. It's got a very high center of gravity. The barrel spins, the whole bit. I can't move into the next lane to get around, or I will roll my truck. So if you do something like that, you're going to get hit.
We're horrified just from driving our car, seeing that in front of us. But, Bill, I thank you for your call. And if I were driving a truck, I'd be a nervous wreck. I'd be gripping that steering wheel like I was a white knuckle truck driver flyer. I mean, these videos, don't look at them. They're just horrifying. We got a break for Fox News. Our phone number is 884-9910. We talk about everything here from plumbing to traffic to, politics we'll get into next. 884-9910. I'm John Potter. On 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:33.
Younger, smarter, better. FM Talk, KKFT, FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk, KKFT.
On into the 30s in the Reno area after a very cold morning. It's live and local. This Nevada news made the national news this week. Six Republicans who falsely certified that Trump won Nevada in 2020 indicted. I'm reading this headline and I'm reading the story from a CBS News website, so it's guaranteed to be one-sided, but I'm going to read the first paragraph. A Nevada grand jury Wednesday indicted Six Republicans who submitted certificates to Congress falsely declaring Donald Trump the winner of the 2020 presidential election in their state, making Nevada the third to seek charges against so-called fake electors. Six Republicans, the so-called fake. Now, this is I'm not reading the article anymore. They believed Donald Trump won this close election, and they posed. I remember the picture. They posed in front of the state legislature building, signing their electoral papers. In December 2020, the Nevada GOP members, they weren't even lawmakers. They were party members, signed certificates stating that Trump won Nevada and sent them to Congress, where they were ultimately ignored. The papers went nowhere once it was certified that Biden won. The state said it had no legal merit to indict them. It was panned. The whole thing was panned. I remember it's a kind of a publicity stunt. Nobody truly took it that seriously from the six people who thought Trump won. But these Democrat attorneys general say it's a sprawling, they call this a sprawling racketeering case and a criminal enterprise that is bent on keeping Trump in the White House. And again, the certificate that the fake electors signed was simply ignored once the election was certified, right? So where's the big crime here? How was our democracy at risk? Now, I'm not a political junkie, but can somebody answer that question for me? I don't understand. Our Democrat attorney general says the actions of these six people who were denied are believed to directly lead to the insurrection in the U.S. Capitol January 6th. How? I think they're just reaching now. I don't see a connection here between these six Republican Party members who signed this paper and January 6th. Do you see a connection? And if there really is a crime, then any politician who says the election was rigged should face the same indictment. Hillary Clinton, Biden, Obama, Pelosi, they all said the 2016 election was rigged. And Hillary went so far to have she had a fake Russian collusion dossier made up, and not a single charge was made against her. If creating a fake collusion to discredit your political rival with a foreign country is not treason, then I don't know what is. Hillary even wrote a book and went on tour for almost half a year, spouting how the election in 2016 was stolen from her. Hillary 100% did not just roll over and accept her loss. She complained and still complains about it to this day. There were Democrats who were saying George W. Bush Jr. Was not the winner of the election. Remember that? Listen, I'm all for punishing as long as it's the same across the board to everyone, and it's not. And I believe now there's a 3-year statute of limitations on filing state charges based on current Nevada law. And the attorney general, our state attorney general, waited until now, almost running out of time, to have this playing out in court during the election. You know, their friends in the media will dutifully ignore Trump's or DeSantis's or Nikki Haley's proposals for what they want to do as president. And the news is going to ignore how their ideas could better our country and our economy, and instead go on this daily marathon of another so-called Trump conspiracy, just like they wasted time reporting on false charges in the last election. Remember the Trump-Russian collusion, the Mueller investigation went nowhere. Yet the media was on it every single night, calling every rumor. And yes, they wanted me to read those rumors on the morning news, calling them blockbuster reports. Recently, we had a pro-Palestine group invading the Capitol. There is literally a video of environmentalists in Kevin McCarthy's office a couple of months back. BLM riots burned down the church across from the White House. So compared to those, January 6th wasn't all that different to me, yet none of those even got on one night's national news. I don't expect far-left ideologies to admit their hypocrisy. That would be compromising their power. But what's going to happen with this Nevada indictment is they're going to get the same lame plea deal that the electors in Wisconsin received. They'll have to admit Biden won in 2020, and they will have to promise to never be an elector in an election that has Trump running, and that's it. Which proves right there, no big crime there. Aside from the document they signed that the state ignored, they can say whatever stupid thing they want. That's protected speech. It is not illegal to seat alternate electors and allow them to document their votes. These six didn't even go that far. And by the way, our state attorney general, this is the same man who boasts about Nevada winning millions of dollars for opioid settlements, the huge payments from pharmaceutical companies over the opioid epidemic. Ford says over 1.1, Aaron Ford, the attorney general, he says over $1.1 billion is set to be received by Nevada so far. Will it go to the people who were directly harmed by these pills? No, the state is pocketing the money, much like the tobacco settlement. The victims get practically nothing. For over 6 months, no one can get our state attorney general to tell us where the $1.1 billion from this pharmaceutical settlement, where that money is going. Politicians and money screwing over the Nevadans who were directly harmed to fatten our state government. And you know how well government spends our tax money. So I just went all over the place on this thing. But can somebody tell me, was this a terrible crime that these six so-called electors did? And honestly, I looked at it when it happened in 2020 as a publicity stunt. They're up there signing this paper. They submitted to the state. The state did their diligence and rejected it. Okay, well, that's how it's supposed to work. You know, I don't think they really expected to go all the way to Washington, D.C. and change the election result. I just don't see the big crime here. I could be wrong. You know, I'm sure there's somebody out there who knows more than me. Always is. Phone number is 884-9910. Okay, one more segment when we come back. I'm John Potter, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk Time, 1147.
Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Woke up this morning, couldn't find my ice scraper, working on the windshield. One of those things you have to do with the change of the weather. We had overnight low, I think, around, well, it was like mid-20s overnight. Did not know where the scraper is. Phil talked about this de-icer that comes in a spray bottle. And guess who came by the station today with a Prestone Ice Fighter Spray de-icer? For me. Thanks, nice. Phil. I didn't know this stuff really existed. It's Prestone. It's yellow. And it's you just spray this on your windshield and the ice is gone.
Yep. I call it hot water in a can.
Hot water in a can. Spray to remove ice. That's all the directions it says. So, yeah. So anyway, that's part of the season, part of the thing. I want to mention that, you know what cold December weather calls for? It's fresh hot cookies. So come see me at the Cookie Plug opening today off South Meadows Parkway in Reno. And I'm going to get there by about 12:30. I'll be there 12:30 to 3:30. I would be honored to meet you in person and share a cookie with you at the grand opening of the Cookie Club or Cookie Plug. Folks in California know all about the Cookie Plug, and it's quite the sensation here. It's bound to be a sensation here, but we're going to have a great grand opening party today on South Meadows in Reno, right next to Rayleigh's. So stop by and see me there starting at 12:30. Speaking of coffee, I had a wonderful coffee date with a former coworker this week. And the following day, I had a coffee date with a longtime media friend. And in both of those conversations, we got on to the topic of what do we do to stay busy when our local media won't hire us? How can we stay relevant? How do we not fade away, I guess, is the real goal. And it's not ego. I truly loved my work in TV news. But what outlet is there for us? So my longtime friend said to me, aren't you on LinkedIn? And I said, hell no. I mean, every time I see LinkedIn, it's people puffing themselves up a bit, you know, me, me, me. Look how high and mighty I am. What I hate is if you don't belong to LinkedIn, you can't read the profiles. You know, if you're looking to interview somebody or do a story on them, and I remember this from my 20 years at Channel 2, you Google these people, and sometimes the only thing on them is a LinkedIn. And you go there, you see the picture and where they work, and then nope, you can't read anything else about them unless you join this LinkedIn, and I just can't do it. Because, again, it's like a networking show-off type of thing, and I'm just not that way. You know, maybe if I get desperately unemployed, I may have to do it, but it's just not me. That thing they call networking, that has always struck me as an insincere exploitation of other people to benefit yourself. You know, how you can get people to do things for you. I'm just not that. I'm not a glad hander. I'm not a business card, phone number passing salesman type of person, you know, but I've had people who excel at it. I had a financial advisor once who wanted three numbers of my friends. And then he calls your friends, and then the friends call you, what'd you give this dude our number for? Well, he helped me, and I feel guilty. You know, it's along that line. Yeah, one time I had a nice couple invite me and a couple of other folks to dinner at their house, and we had a cool time. And then after dessert, they actually brought out this blackboard, and they did this spiel on some multi-level marketing thing. It wasn't Amway. It was something like it. But anyway, another thing I keep hearing from people is that I should do a podcast. You know, right after Channel 2 took my keys away, I heard that all the time from people. You ought to do a podcast. And I thought to myself, who the hell is going to listen to this podcast? I'm convinced that a lot of these celebrities who do a podcast, I think they do it just to create the perception that they have something going on. The podcasts that I listen to, Bill Maher and Wall Street Journal's News Hub, I'm not that good. I'm not as good as they are, you know, but my cats like me, and I'm good at leaf raking at home. Those are my talents aside from what I used to do all my life. But I don't know. I'm at the kind of the career crossroads, and talking with the plumber guy who is here making $249 an hour, and the truckers out there who are making between $80,000 and $100,000 a year because there's such an extreme shortage in both those professions, it kind of would make anybody think and consider something. I got to be honest, Phil, I don't mean to embarrass you, but when we were talking to the trucking school lady, you texted me, is it hard for drivers with no experience?
Yes. you see, that's... In industry to speak, that's called a producer's note. It's supposed to help you sound better.
Oh, you were just asking for the benefit of other people, not yourself, right?
Yeah, not for me, no.
You're a better man than me.
Hey, since I have you on the horn.
Yes.
We've had several calls throughout the course of the day to remind you that your cookie remote is not next to Raley's. It's next to Smith's on South Meadows.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on next to Smith.
Wow, they know, huh?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you told me that, because I'd be walking all through Raley's looking for the cookie. Okay, the exact address is 748 South Meadows Parkway. You know what people do nowadays? They just go to Google Maps and put in the address, and it takes you right there. 748 South Meadows Parkway in Reno, right next to the Smiths on South Meadows Parkway, unless Phil is wrong.
Oh, me? Wrong? Happens. I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken.
Okay. Listen, it's been fun. Thank you for filling in and being the producer.
Glad to
you're
do it.
Hired.
No, thank you.
So, what are you doing the rest of the weekend?
After I get off work today, not a darn thing. I'm going to spend some quality time with my computer.
You know, we have that huge Santa crawl going on in downtown Reno tonight. I hear this is the biggest crawl pretty much in the nation. This is big. I thought the zombie crawl was the biggest in Reno. The Santa crawl, I was corrected by somebody, is a much bigger. 20,000 Santas.
Good
downtown. And I'm interested in going there just to people watch. So I'll probably get lost in the crowd. Anyway, folks, I'll see you at the Cookie Plug grand opening in about half an hour on South Meadows Parkway, 748 South Meadows Parkway. See you there, and I'll talk to you on this radio show next Saturday. Have a good weekend.